Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude this study in our salvation series titled Biblical Salvation. This is part 2 of 2.
He's going to bring me through. I may not like the path we take, but He's going to bring me through. It's not my faith. It's what my faith is in that brings me through. And it really bothers me, especially when they'll talk for 10 or 15 minutes and not even mention Jesus. They're just talking about, oh, my faith. My faith brought me through. My faith is my strength. My faith. My faith. That sounds like boasting. And you're not supposed to boast. Amen? That's the rest of that verse. Lest any man should boast. Well, if it's your faith, you can boast. But it's not yours. It's a gift of God.
Amen.
How did Jesus say... Wait, I want to skip that. Here's what I was talking about. Faith. How do you get faith then if it's a gift? So then, read that. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why it's so scary when you hear somebody claim to be a Christian and they don't love the Bible. And you run into someone who claims to be a Christian, but they're not about the Bible. They're just about whatever else. Their church, their preacher, their whatever, their denomination, whatever it is. There's a problem with that. If you're saved, you were saved because of the Word of God. And your walk with God is all about the Word of God. How did Jesus say someone must respond when they received the Word of God? No. Jesus said, when you hear the Gospel, there's a way you're to respond. It's in Mark chapter 1, at the end of verse 14, it says, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the Gospel of the Kingdom of God, and said, read it, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. If you don't urge people to repent, you're not preaching the same thing Jesus or Paul preached. And if you have a disclaimer, if you say, repent ye of, and only limit that to certain things, that's not what Jesus preached. There were no footnotes. There were no disclaimers. He didn't have the lawyers draw up a separate document when someone became a Christian. Just so that we're clear on this, this is our legal definition for repentance. There are some things you don't need to repent of. There are some things you do. You know what? You even repent of your good works. Not only do you repent of your sins, you repent of what you are, you repent of everything you think and believe. You have no opinions when it comes to God and salvation anymore. You come empty to God, and you don't bring your works either. You repent of your works, good works, and your bad works, your sins. You repent of everything. Repent, repent, repent. No disclaimers. And when someone starts putting a disclaimer and saying, well, that only means to change your mind about the gospel. That's not what that word means. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that's what it means. Even God in Genesis 6:6, when He repented, it wasn't just a change of mind. It was it grieved Him at His heart, and it changed what He actually did. It affected Him. That's God. He wasn't repenting of sin. He was repenting of creating you and me. Repentance is not of yourself. Faith is not of yourself. Now, here's what the liars out there are saying. I'm going to tell you, there's some folks out there who are slandering me and saying I'm preaching work salvation. And how they do it is they define repentance as a work. And repentance is not a work any more than faith is a work. It's not of works. Repentance is given, or another word used in the King James is granted by God to those who receive the Word of God. When you receive the Word of God, no, here's the thing is, if you really receive the Word of God, no human being even has to tell you to repent. That's the truth. And all these guys who are preaching this false, only repent of something or other, and don't repent of your sins, those people, if they're saved, they did repent of their sins when they got saved. They've just fallen into heresy since then. And repentance is not a work, and anybody who says it is a liar. Anybody who says, I'm preaching work salvation for preaching full repentance, is a liar. 2 Timothy 2:25, read that. in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Who gives repentance?
God
gives repentance. It's not a work. And how does that happen? Same faith. It's you receive the Word of God. It produces in you this thing. So what we're preaching, the gospel, we can know whether someone's sincere and genuine by their attitude. Someone turns and says, well, I don't want to go to hell, so I'll accept your gospel, but I'm still going to be queer. That's what's going on today. And folks out there better wake up. These guys who are attacking me, these guys who are preaching this gospel of lasciviousness, they're building queer churches. And that's why the first thing they do when they come after preachers like me is to bring up the whole sodomite thing and say, we've got to hang up with sodomy. I had guys write me that. We had gone back and forth two or three times, and his last one, he basically was blowing me off, and he said my hang-up was with the homosexuals. I hadn't even mentioned homosexuals the whole time we'd been talking. His hang-up is with the homosexuals because they got a lot of money. And they want to build buildings, they want to boast about numbers, and if you will stop preaching repentance of sins and you will go soft on the issue of Sodom, you can have big churches. Big bank accounts, big buildings. I haven't been to them, so I'm not accusing anybody, but I'm going to ask you a question. Those of you, some of you attend churches with big buildings. You might go to their special events. Some of you have relatives that go to those churches. Listen to the preaching, folks. Are they preaching repentance of sins? Are they? And I'm talking even to the saved people. We have to repent of sins. After you're saved, you continue to repent. Listen. Do they call on their people to repent of sin? Do they take a hard stand on sins? There aren't going to be very many big churches. Monica and I were talking earlier about King James Bible dispensational churches. There aren't very many huge ones. There aren't going to be. You realize Jesus, when He went to the cross, He went alone. And just within a few weeks of Him going to the cross, almost all of His followers had forsaken Him. Amen. That's what happens when you stand on the truth and preach the Word of God without compromise. Amen. As I said, repentance is not a work. We are not saved by a simple head knowledge belief. That's the lexicon definition of repent is a change of mind. You just change your mind about, oh, okay, well, I guess Jesus did die for my sins, was buried and rose again. You're saved. Oh, wonderful. That's not biblical salvation. We're saved. It says we are not saved by a simple head knowledge belief, but in a heartfelt repentance and faith. Go together. Amen. It's the will of God. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? And you think that's just a change of mind about the gospel? He wants you to repent of everything. He just wants you to drop it all and turn to Him. Amen? And if you can't do that, then you're showing evidence you're not being convicted by God. And you're not submitting to His work in your heart. The Holy Spirit is being resisted, just like the stiff-necked Pharisees resisted the Holy Spirit. Because when you receive the Word of God coming with nothing, then the Holy Spirit just comes in and produces that in you, repentance and faith. Here's how it happens. You hear the gospel, Word of God. You receive it as the Word of God. God grants repentance and faith. And then, Romans 10:8 says, but what saith it? The Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the Word of faith which we preach. The Word of faith isn't, I confess that I have a new car.
I confess I have $10,000 in my bank account. I confess I have a new house. I confess I now am a good-looking man. I confess, or whatever it is. That's what's being preached as the word of faith today on TBN and the Pentecostal Charismatic and whatever churches. That's not the biblical word of faith. The biblical word of faith is the gospel that you have received. And it is now producing in you faith to believe.
Amen.
Amen. Even in thy mouth and in thy mind, in thy heart. This is a heartfelt change that's taking place in you. That is the word of faith which we preach. We can't help but believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths. How many of you remember what it was like when you got saved? I mean, you were just ready to tell everybody, and just, oh man, you got to hear this, and you need to come to Jesus. And the older, mature Christians are like, now, settle down a little bit, you know, man. Yeah. Amen. You can't help it. Why? Because you received it. No strings attached. No quasi-repentance, no partial repentance, no disclaimers. You just came to God empty handed and said, save me. And He did. That's why Romans 10:9 says, read that with me, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Why? Because if you receive the Word of God, that's what happens. That's it.
Amen.
God does not simply desire we come to a change of mind. It's not just about your mind. He wants your heart.
Amen.
That's why I believe that you see a lot of these guys, you know, doing what they're doing and going off into this gospel of Sodom, gospel of lasciviousness, whatever you want to call it. It's because it's all in here. What's verse 10 say? Read that. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And here's the slick stuff they'll say. They say, well, when the Bible uses the word heart and mind, it's interchangeable. It's a... No. No, that's what you call a Bible pervert. That's a Bible corrector. That's the one saying your King James Bible needs a little bit of revision. And if you won't do it with ink and paper, you ought to do it in your head. Revise every time you see... That's like the Calvinists, every time they see the word all. And the Bible says that He died for the sins of the whole world. Well, not the whole world, just the elect whole world. The elect whole world. Well then, blow it out your nose. Amen? Amen. That's a Ruckman response there. If you don't want to believe the book, don't believe it. But don't bring that nonsense in here. Amen. This is what it means to believe on Him. Believe on Him. You ever notice that? For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed.
Amen.
You're no longer relying on what you think. No, nothing. You turn away from everything and you rely totally on Him. Jesus paid the full price, shedding His blood on the cross, dying and being buried. He rose again and conquered sin and death. And you know that's true. You receive it and you just know it. It's like, you know, people say, what do you believe? It's more like what I know. We have a know-so salvation.
Amen.
We know. And it really is that simple. Don't let Satan confuse or deceive you. I'm urging you this morning. Don't be another statistic along with the apostasy. The Bible says one of the signs of the times is the great falling away. Don't be part of it. Don't let Satan take you away from this simple message. And folks, you look through church history, you don't find this Gnostic false gospel being preached by anybody but the cult Gnostics. If you look at this idea that you don't have to repent of sins, or this idea, these other ideas that the Pope and Rob Bell and these others are preaching, those are all part of the cults of the past. And Satan constantly brings them back up to see if he can grab more people and grab more souls using the same old bait. But Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his what?
Subtlety.
So your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity. that is in Christ. He's talking to people who are saved. And he says, if you let him, he'll get in your mind. He's talking about change of mind. He'll get in your mind and he'll start messing up the way you think, the way you understand things. And that's what he'd done in the church of Galatia that we've been studying. He messed them up. Got in their minds. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus. We've had people come in here preaching another Jesus.
Yeah.
A created Jesus.
Yeah.
A Jesus that isn't divine, isn't eternally God. We've had them come in here. And they're all over the place. I posted a clip of Victoria Osteen saying, you know, Jesus was completely man until God touched him with his spirit.
Wow.
It's on video. And you have these constant attacks on the deity of Jesus Christ. And people just sit there and eat it up.
Wow.
And Paul says, for he that cometh preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which is the charismatic movement today, is another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which we've been talking about this morning, which ye have not accepted. See, you weren't saved by believing that false gospel. Ye might well bear with him. That was Paul's warning. The Bible says, take heed, lest you fall. You have to wake up to the reality. This stuff's right out there in front of you, and you, Satan's just waiting for the right time to trip you up and take you down. He can't, if you're saved, no, he can't take you to hell, but he can keep you from being used of God.
Mm-hmm.
And he can destroy your reward and your inheritance. We have provided this with clarity and warning, I pray, this morning. It is your responsibility to take heed and to guard against error.
Amen.
It is not my responsibility to think for you. It is not my responsibility to watch, you know, everyone you allow into your life and every book you read and every sermon you listen to and every YouTube video you watch or whatever. That's something you've got to take care of. And you should take what you have heard this morning, you take what you learned from the Word of God, and you use that to judge what you're hearing. And if they go astray from that, don't excuse it. Turn it off. There are people, and I could give you story after story, who listen to heretical teachers. And they'll say, well, but I listen to, you know, because sometimes they're all right. And sometimes this. And within a few years, off the deep end. Can happen to any of us.
Yeah.
And as your pastor, I'm here to warn the flock. I'm here to give you the heads up.
Amen.
And I've heard enough from folks right here now. And I've seen enough what's going on in this local church family. And I've also heard and seen enough among those on the internet and those listening on radio and contacting me. That folks, the falling away, the repentance of only this or that, the repentance only of the mind, or no repentance at all. There's some out there preaching there's no repentance. Just make that belief in the gospel. And then you have a lot of people who claim to be evangelical Christians, but they know what they can get by with saying out loud. And so they kind of hide this universalism where they just believe everybody's going to be saved anyway. It's all out there, folks. And you have to have a discerning ear.
Amen.
To hear it. And if it don't sound right, then the chances are it's not right.
Amen.
If you know this book, and something just don't sound right. How many of you know people who got sucked into these pyramid schemes?
Yeah.
Sucked into these things where, you know, I've been in sucked in two or three times, actually. And I even said, I'll never get involved in something like that again. And they're like, oh no, it's not the same. It's not the same. One time, you know my condition? I can't breathe, you know. One of the things I got sucked into was selling colognes and perfumes. Yeah. Out of a briefcase. And of course, eventually the idea is to get more people to come under you, and you get, and then it trickles down, and you somehow, or it comes this way, and you're supposed to get rich. And I never got rich, and I don't know anybody did. But I knew when I first heard the scheme, there's something wrong with this. So why did I ignore that voice? And some of you today, you're listening to teachers and you're hearing them say things and you know there's something wrong. And I'm just telling you, turn them off. What do I do? Well, won't you try getting alone with the Lord in His book? Just open the Bible and read it. Let Him teach you. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
I mean, isn't that what it's all about right there? I mean, thank God for teachers. I'm glad you listen to me. But don't turn me on all the time and turn off God. Turn on the Word of God.
Amen.
The book. All I'm trying to do is help you along. But the point is for you to have a working knowledge of that book, to read it every day and to grow. And if I can help you do that, I want to help you. But then I'm going to throw this in there. There's some of you who have access to hundreds of Bible studies put out by this ministry, and you're not taking advantage of it. And every once in a while, it happens. People come up and ask me a question, and I'm like, you know, we taught on that. So take advantage of the free resources that we're providing as a local church. You just go to bbfohio.com and it's right there. God's given us that wonderful tool and opportunity. And then some of you here, you know, do that. And you constantly come up and tell me, yeah, I was listening to that message last week and listening to this message the other day. You know, that's great. Take advantage of it. We've given away the Bible on DVD. And, you know, I've had a couple of people tell me they don't read their Bible where they ought to. And they haven't used the DVD they were given. But they've had time to watch TV. You see what I'm saying? And don't take this as a browbeating this morning. I'm not. I'm just as a brother, your brother. I'm telling you. I have to turn the boob tube off. I have to make time. I have to take advantage of the resources God's given me.
Amen.
And I'm urging you to do that because I love you. And Jesus is coming soon. And we want to be found of sound doctrine, and we want to be found serving Him and preaching the gospel. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for this time. You come down to the end of the year, sometimes it just feels right to take a step back and lay out the basic, fundamental truth of the gospel and to remind everyone of what we are to be doing and the message to be preached and the truth of the gospel itself. And Lord, I just pray we go into this holiday season, You might give us opportunity to talk to some folks who do believe the Bible is the Word of God, but just haven't heard a clear gospel message or just have been putting it off, but You've prepared their hearts and the time is right for us to preach the gospel to them. Lord, that's what this is all about. We don't like a lot of the things about Christmas this time of the year. We certainly have nothing to do with the Catholic Mass and some of that stuff. But the whole world, even when they don't think about what they're doing, they're singing about Jesus coming as a baby. And they put up their little nativity scenes because they just have done it. They just do it because they've done it. And then along comes a Bible believer to explain to them what it is they're singing about. And what that nativity scene is all about. Jesus coming as a human being. God manifest in the flesh. To grow up, become a man, and die for our sins. And to win the victory over the wages of sin, which is death, when He rose from the dead. And may that be on our hearts and minds, Lord, to explain that to people during this time of the year. And as we go into the new year, to be faithful. Always, though, mindful of the fact that You could call us home at any moment. And we look forward to that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hill and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain.
BBFOhioRadio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at BBFOhioRadio.com.